My name is Teresa Daniel. Welcome to part two of this very important interview that was conducted on Sunday, July 4, 2021, between General Hudson Austin and George Worm. In this segment, the General speaks more about his education and the start of his career in the political life of the country.
The British government was offering scholarship to men who only have diplomas in construction. Mm-hmm. British government, Commonwealth, was giving these scholarships in England. And while one morning, MacDonald, I don't know if you know MacDonald from St. Paul's Day, he used to be in public works. MacDonald, he was an accountant. He was acting assistant permanent secretary, right? In public works at that time. And he called me one morning. He said, Austin, I think I have something here that will interest you. And he showed me that the British government was offering these scholarships to men with diplomas to give them a bachelor and master's degree. And he said, I think you should apply, you know, Austin. He said, okay, come in and I'll show you how to deal with the form. Mm-hmm. So I went in and he followed the form and so on and so on. And I set it up. And I was accepted. But I applied for leave. And when I see the leave was up, I went back to MacDonald, he said, well, I can't approve that kind of leave. See. But when they approve the leave, you know what they did? They gave me 3 years leave, study leave, but without pay. So, here I was home though. They gave me study leave without pay. But it so happened that there was an organization in England called the IRA. They say they used to do a lot of bombing in England. I don't know if you know about those
days. Irish Republican Army?
Huh?
You talking about the IRA, Irish Republican Army?
Yeah.
Yes, uh-huh.
There were a lot of bombing.
A lot of bombing, yes.
You know about that?
Civil war going on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened is, they get to know about all these students coming in, but a lot from Africa, they, in their own image, said that the British was bringing in these people to spy on them. So they threatened to bomb the university.
Mm.
So the university, I think was, the name was Reading. Reading University.
Reading?
Yeah. So they postponed the scholarships. Postponed them. And they said, well, so when I got the letter postponing the scholarship, I go back to MacDonald and show him. And I waited, 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 waited. Then one morning, the secretary, Miss Rahim, was the secretary, called me. And she said, Austin, they said they have no post for you right now, you know. That politics again, because at that time, I joined the JNP party, right? But you know, at one time I was the organizing secretary for the JNP party.
I didn't know
that. Right. Mm-hmm. So that was politics playing. Well, boy, there no salary, barred. That time, I had 2 children already. And no salary. So MacDonald said, A.T. should look for something to do. He said, you didn't refuse to work, they refuse to give you work, so you're still a public servant. He said, wherever you go and work, you're still a public servant. He said, you have to live. So if somebody has your job, take it. One morning I was there by the fish market. You know, there's a fish market by Empire Cinema, we used to sell fish there.
Yes.
I was there, I was seeing the first couple of fish, then I went fish. I went to buy a few pounds of red fish. I happened to see a bunch of food. So he said, what are you doing with my fish? So all over the morning, I should be there doing the people work. I said, Mr. Gittins, I don't work, you know. The people take me back to work. He said, well, I'm looking for a debit manager, man. You want a debit manager? He said, come in Monday morning. And that's how I get to go and work with British America. So I went to work for British America. And I remained a civil service all the time till the revolution.
Yeah. But you were not getting paid?
But what happened is, they never sent a letter inviting me back to work. Never did. So, what happened is, I worked for British American for about 2 years, and I saw an advertisement from Gordon Buffett in Lanzapine for a road engineer, and I applied. I got a job with Buffett. So all the development on both sides of the Lanzapine Road, I did that.
Oh.
I did that. Even Freedom Hill. And then afterwards, the same Pat McLeish, Cleveland Donald and myself, we form a company called Road Construction Company. And it's from doing those work there, the other side of the road, though I did that for Joshua Thorn and them, what they call holiday development, right? And it's from there the revolution come, right? So it's from that point, all the men were trained on top of that hill there, overlooking Chublu, right?
All right, so we come into the politics now.
Yeah?
We come into politics now.
Yeah.
How did you first get involved in politics?
Huh?
How did you get involved in politics? What influenced you to get involved in the political life of the country?
Listen. What? I look at how the Gary government was working.
Mm-hmm.
Because I grew up poor, I know what it is to poor. You know we had a little picket house there too by the road there?
Yes.
Right. And I look at the things Gary was doing over the years. Because some people think some people think I'm stupid. Even in the Jewel movement, I joined the Jewel movement in the early days with Eunice Whiteman and everything, even before Maurice come back and before Bernard come back. The early day, Teddy Victor, Sam Batson, brother son.
That would have been the Jewel movement.
Oh yeah.
Not New Jewel.
Before the Jewel movement, I joined the GNP party. I remember the GNP party. That would have been late 60s and that kind of thing, right? And then you had this Borgia, with Robert Blaze and all of that. But I never one day decided to run for no election. Herbert Blazer, they wanted me to run for election, tell them no. So they put God to it, and said, I'll campaign for somebody if you put them, but I don't run for no election. I said, when you run for election, everything people have to take, you get it because of government thing. I did that one. So, that only, first only election, remember God to it?
I remember he ran.
Yeah.
That was in 1972.
He lost to William.
72.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, in the 76 election, I told Maurice Chait, I said, if you run it, I'll campaign for you, but I'm not running. Right? I ain't looking for no power, I'm looking for help for the people. right? So the politics side of it was because what I see was going on in the country. Tell you shit. I didn't happy with what Gary was doing. The first thing that came up vexed Gary. I used to listen to Gary from the very beginning when he came in on the 51 strike. I think I was a young boy and all them kind of thing. And listen to him, he used to come by Subway and I'm beating up late at night. Yes, sure. Been beating. I'm talking about how the people need homes and the children could see what mama and daddy doing in the night and that kind of thing. Then when he had a chance now to give the people a good little home, what do I give them? A stick house. A little stick house from Suriname. Right?
You talking about the Janet house you're talking about?
I say now, he could have done better. He could have done better than that, give the people a good little house. A little 14 by 10. This room bigger than it. Because this room is 16 by 20. Right? The next thing that came up vexed with Gary. At one election, a lot of spoiled votes. And Gary realized if he continues so with these spoiled votes, he could lose the election. Instead of Gary mobilize the party to teach the people how to make a proper X. You know what he do? He go in parliament and pass a law and say, any man could do. That one pissed me off. Because I say, how the hell a man with the stature of Gary could want to keep the people ignorant? The next thing I ever met with Gary is, he used to have the poor people making harvest for him. Harvest, eh? They take their money and they buy things and they make harvest and something over the 90 master and collect the money. Those things piss me off, John. If I tell you them things, they piss me off a lot. That is what twists me against Gary. I like him as a person, I tell you a lie. But for a leader, I, as a young boy who struggled to get an education and fight up, I know from what I did, Gary could have done better for his people. Could have done better, much better too.
You think he kept them poor so he can control them?
That's right. Keep them poor so you could control them. Why keep the population ignorant?
Okay.
You see, that is one of the reasons I told Boris. After the revolution, George, Boris called me in. And he said, H.A., what is the first thing you would like to see we do in Grenada as a party? What is? I say, free secondary education. Free secondary education. Although we had it in the manifesto. So I tell Boris, boy, we had a lot of bright little young boys in the place, but the parents can't afford to send them to secondary school. The work the parents doing, for instance, like a man walking on the road in those days, how much are they getting? Even when I go to work in Lansapine for Buffett and them, for a lot of them, carpenters was still getting $5 a day.
I didn't know that. Look at that.
So how could these things happen? How could people make it in life with that kind of money? And normally poor people always have more children than other people.
Correct.
You ever check it out in Modelo?
It's correct, because...
Check it out in Modelo, you have the most children. Poor people.
Okay.
Rich people have one or two children.
In Grenada, still the case in Grenada.
Yeah.
It's still the case.
Yeah.
All right. So, Eche, how did you meet Morris? Because
Morris?
I know you had a very close relationship with Morris. How did you actually meet?
Well, I actually meet Morris?
Yes, how you met him?
Let me tell you though. It always had close relationship between Morris and my family and my family. Let me tell you though something. Morris' father and my mother went to Bonjalu Primary School together. They're from Bonjalu, right the way you see the Bishop Obos. Yeah, by the hill, the Bishop hill, on the next side.
Yes, what was his name again? Bishop. Roy. Where
Roy Bishop used
where
to stay?
Roy Bishop used to stay.
That was family house, Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, Morris born in Aruba. When Morris come back home, he mostly used to be in Bonjalu because his father didn't build house and things. And they often want to build on parade and all. His father opened business and all that. Morris used to be in Bonjalu every Saturday by his grandfather, Fred Bishop, who used to work in the pantry, government pantry. And Fred Bishop and my father had good relationship. So when Fred Bishop around Christmas time, and he knew he could be working late, he used to have cow. He used to have two cow. Because he used to buy milk. He used to get milk for his family, right? And when he went on, he would call the father, "Hey, Phineas, let the boy bring in the cow for me. I'll be late tonight." So I would go and bring in his cow and tie it on the... He had a guy who used to go and cut grass for him and put it on the pen. I would bring in the cow and tie it for him then. And me and Morris on Saturday morning, he had a lot of land there. Always see the Anglican church, it was there. So go right back up to Gibson Corner.
Mm-hmm.
It bogey with Gibson there, go right back down to Springs. Right? We'll sell out some of the land in the bottom of the, all of that. So, that is how I get to know Morris. He was just about 9 years old when he come back. I'm older than him, right? And Morris would come there by his grandfather and mother is me looking for. He's going to know Margo. Remember, the coconut tree could have too tall for her to climb in. Climbing anything. We pick watermelon. I never forget one Sunday morning. It was a Sunday morning, yes. He come over. When we go down that hill, rainfall boy. I couldn't climb the coconut, because there are a lot of coconut trees in the bottom of the road. I said, "We can't climb this morning, boy. It's too wet." He said, "Let me cut it down, man." So that brings the relationship between me and Marissa. And that relationship only parted mainly, let me tell you, mostly when he started going to secondary school. Let me tell you something. I used to be a ball boy in Richmond Hill Club.
Tennis court?
Yeah, the
tennis
court.
Okay.
Yeah, I used to be a ball boy. And boys living right below there. In those days, we saw a battleship coming in. When the battleship come in, them sailors, officers, used to rent the court. Like they would rent the court for a few days. And we, the ball boy, had to, I think. But them, when them sailors come and when they rent the coat, and them come and they play till about 11 o'clock, they're gone. They be coming back till about 4 in the evening. So when them gone, the coat is behind Morris and them other boys, so that's the boys allowed to play tennis. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was the relationship between us. It's not something that we pick up by the way. Morris' uncle John is my godfather. Because my mother was very close to the bishop. Okay?
Okay, so that if you bring me now to the next question I want to ask you. What influenced you to get involved with Morris? What influenced you to get involved with Morris and Eunice Whiteman to start a struggle against Gary and his God? I mean, at what, you know, what influenced you?
Let
to
me
get
tell you.
Involved with
Let
them.
Let me tell you something. The struggle all started because of how Gary was appointed. Remember, Boris and Yuri and them didn't start together. I got involved with White Man first. They started the Jewel movement. White Man, Sam Bat, Steady, Victor, them kind of thing. Right. And it was, they started off this thing to educate people. Right. Was J-E-W-E-L, Joint Endeavor for Welfare, Education, Liberation. So they were doing this thing to educate people towards politics. They started a library and all those kind of things. People could come and get books and read, all that thing. And because Eunice White Man, who was teaching them, thought it was not a good thing just to push people into politics without educating them. Right? And I got involved with them because I kind of get fed up with the GNP. Right? Because Herbert Blaine was a fella. You tell him something and it's like it go to one ear and go to the next one. Right? So I switch. I went over with the Jewel. And then when Boris come back home, he started something called MAP. Movement for the Assemblies and People. Well, Jewel and MAP come together on the 11th of March. 1973. Because they say it makes sense having two organizations that have the same, that serve the same purpose. So Boris and Yuri come together and in Robert Vidi Estate, or the estate in St. David's Day. What name is again? On top of the hill, it used to be the Nettles Estate.
In St. David's?
Yeah.
Okay.
St. David's. And they met there. Because I think either Sabbath or somebody had somebody who was in charge. Mm-hmm. And they met there. And the two organizations joined. And we called it New Jewel Movement. That's when the new come in. It's when Boris joined in with us to get the name New. Right? New Jewel Movement. Right. And one of the first big struggles we had was Lasagesse.
That was Lord Brownlow.
Eh?
Lord Brownlow.
Because Lord Brownlow wanted to walk up the pasture where they see the Hamden, you know, where they played all their games and things, yeah. You know. He wanted to walk up the pasture to plant banana. But the pasture was given to the people by the first estate owner, what his name was? Can't remember his name now. And he didn't only want to do that, but he put gate so that the people can pass through a place to go to the beach. And then people make up their mind. Make up your mind, we will put up with that man. There are Englishmen coming all the way from England, buy a estate in Greenland, and then meet certain conditions there. They tell us, well, the people have to go all along so to pick up if they want to go on the beach. We say that. We're going to deal with the global. So that is what we did. We had a big demonstration. The people removed the gate, right? Well, I was the one who delivered sentence on him, right?
You were at a trial.
Yeah?
A trial of
Yeah, the chair of Lord Bangalore. I was appointed the judge. And that is how we declare Poster Non Grata. Right? That was the first big struggle. Then you had the airport struggle in Granville. Okay? So that was how it all started out. And it moved from one to the next, one to the other, one to the other, because they lock us up for the burglar thing, you know, don't forget.
Oh, they didn't lock, no, I didn't know. They didn't lock you all up. Police did arrest you all.
Yeah. And take us to court to indict them.
Did you all win that case?
Huh?
Did you all win the case?
Yes.
Okay.
We win the case. It didn't go for that in the magistrate court.
This brings us to the end of part two of the interview with General Hudson Austin. Part three of the interview will be aired in approximately 2 hours.